Thankful for the Lord's faithfulness to us. Give us another meeting, another opportunity to meet together, to hear from His Word. I'd like to ask you to pray for me. I feel very needy. My prayer and heart's desire has been, Lord, expose the enemy. Expose the one who lurks in darkness, who lurks in the shadow of the night and the darkness that we dwell in. Lord, expose him for where he is. Expose him for where he's working, what he's trying to do in each of our lives, what he's trying to do to ensnare me, what he's trying to do unto the church. Lord, expose him. Expose him for what he is and for where he is. I would ask that you would pray for me along those lines tonight. The Lord would bless his word. I'd like to pose the burden the Lord has given me. Had for some time in the form of a question. The question that I've written is, who will believe the report? Like to begin in the book of John, the 12th chapter of John. Like to begin with the 37th verse. John 12 and 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the Lord of the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. He said that when we look back upon the reports we have of the miracles that Jesus performed, opening the eyes of the blind and many such things, cripples were made to walk, things that had not been seen. Don't you believe that would be something to behold? Don't you believe that would be something that if you beheld it would stick with you? Something that would make an impression upon your mind? I think it would. I think if I had seen the man that had been blind from birth, the man that couldn't walk, and I saw him different. I saw him a changed man. I think it would make an impression upon me. Scripture bears out that Jesus performed the miracles that he did, that those that beheld it would believe on him. He did it out of a heart of compassion and love when he looked upon the multitudes. But he said, I've told you in one place where the Pharisees and those were challenging him, he said, I've already told you who I am. The works that I do, they bear witness of me. They bear witness that I am from God. The miracles and the healings, the deliverances that He gave, they were those that were manifested that they might speak and manifest who He was. That He was more than just another man, more than just another prophet that came, but that He was indeed the Son of Man. Who else could perform the miracles that He did? But yet it says, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they still believed not on him. Those that had beheld and looked upon the miracles that he performed and the ministry that he had on this earth, it said that yet they still believed not. Jesus is still manifesting himself today. And yet I see so many that still believe not. I see so many that though the miracles have been manifested, though the testimonies have been given of glorious deliverance from sin, yet they still believe not. Oh, they may be able to say, I believe on Christ. You can go down the road and see bumper stickers to that effect. You can see people wearing shirts, hats, but that's easy to do. That shirt's easy to put on. But to truly be able to believe on Him, that's what the Lord is interested in. A belief that goes beyond a head knowledge. That goes beyond saying, yes, that's a mighty work that you performed. That's something that I can't explain, but yet I still don't believe. I may stand in awe, but it still doesn't affect a change in my life. They still didn't believe, though they had seen the works that He had done. And so it was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, I believe the 53rd chapter. It said, "Who hath believed our report?" Speaking of the coming of the Messiah. As He was sent and He came, was manifested to do the work of God on this earth. Who hath believed Him? Who would believe the testimony? The life that He lived, the miracles that He performed, who would believe on that as God's plan was? I believe the question still extends to us tonight. Who would believe the report? The report that's been given, the life that He's lived. I'd like to look now at the 6th chapter of John. John, the 6th chapter. Might to begin with the 26th verse. There is a multitude of people here that came after Jesus had performed the miracles of the feeding of the multitude from the few loaves and fishes. They came as He hid from them. They came and found them. Found Jesus and approached Him. This is the setting that we pick up in the 26th verse. They asked Him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And again, I want us to remember that the purpose of the miracles was not just that they stand in awe, but that they believe. Yes. That it affects a change in their life, in their heart. Jesus saying here, that hasn't happened. That's not the reason that you're seeking Me. You're not seeking Me because you believed on Me. You're not seeking Me because you saw the miracle that I performed and it caused you to want to follow up, take up your cross and follow Me. But He said that you seek Me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Because you received benefit to yourself. You were able to be fed. That in and of itself, people like free things. People like, I found at work that if you want to get good participation in a meeting, bring food. Tell them there will be donuts and you'll have participation and interest in the meeting. People are like that, aren't they? Like to be able to receive something that will benefit them. And they did. But it was to go so much further than that. I can imagine of the multitude that was there. There were probably some that were there because they were spellbound. Perhaps because they just stood in awe. Maybe there were some that were inquisitive and wondered, how could it be? They beheld the miracle, beheld what had been done. It wasn't natural, was nothing that man could have done. And so I'm sure there were many there that stood in awe of that, wondered. If you've ever seen an accident or some happening like that on the interstate, you oftentimes see what they call rubberneckers. Those who are stopping and just looking. Trying to see what's happened. What's all the fuss? What's all the commotion about and the lights? I'm sure there were those that were walking down the road and wondered, what's the commotion about? What's this that I beheld the big multitude? Saw the crowd and wondered what was going on. And went and watched. Beheld the miracle that He did. And thought, surely this is a man that we want to watch further. But Jesus was looking so much further than that.
That's right.
I fear today that there are those who have seen the miracles. There are those that have felt the touch of Jesus' hand on their life. That have seen the worst that He's done. And yet, could we say they're spectators?
Yeah.
Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year. They come, they're there in presence, but have we ever truly believed the report? Has it ever gone beyond a head knowledge? Beyond something that I see and I have to acknowledge, Lord, this is You. Beyond something that I say, those people have something. And it sparks my interest. Nosiness, perhaps, or even beyond that, we're glad for everyone that comes through these doors. So thankful for their presence. But it must go so much deeper than our presence. Must go so much deeper than us coming through these doors. But that I would come to a place that I say, Lord, from what I've seen, from Your touch on my life, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I'm convinced. Lord, I follow You. It's easy to say, and there were those that told Jesus that they wanted to follow Him. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. In other words, you don't truly understand what you're asking for. It's easy to say that you're impressed by what you see, but to truly believe to the degree that it affects the work within your heart and a repentance, He said that was lacking. He exhorted them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who hath sent Me. They said therefore unto Him, what sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Can you believe that they really even asked that question in the 30th verse? It says, what sign do you show us then? What can you prove to us that you are the Son of God? After what they had just beheld. Oh, I see folks the same way today. After all that the Lord has done for them. After all the many ways the Lord has manifested Himself and His glory. Lord, I still want a sign. Lord, I still want something more. I'm not completely convinced. The Lord wants us to be convinced. The Lord wants us to believe the report. Believe the report that's been given of Him. Scripture in Ezekiel says, lo, Thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear Thy words, but they do them not. They hear what You're saying. There's some interest. There's some recognition that perhaps there's anointing on that message. There's something there. It's more than just entertainment. But to truly be changed, to truly allow the Word to work, the work that the Lord desires to work. And that work, they said, what is the work? Said that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. That's the Lord's desire for us, that we go beyond trying to enjoy the fringe benefits of this salvation. That I not settle or be satisfied with a shallow experience, with coming and associating myself in presence only, but I say, Lord, help me to believe. Lord, help Thou mine unbelief. Yes. By all the Lord's done, what more could we ask Him to do? What more could we ask for Him to show, to manifest Himself? Hasn't He already? Don't we already have the account of what the Lord did here and so much more? Of what He's done in our lives, in the lives of the saints? Lord, help us that we might truly believe. Jesus telling them to labor for the meat that He gave. Thought about where He told them that you must eat of My flesh and drink of My blood. There were many that were offended by that and said that they walked no more with Him. He turned to the rest and asked them, will you go away also? But His concern was that they truly believe on who He was. Believe on His precepts and His doctrines, His teachings. That it goes beyond, Lord, I want the benefits of the loaves and fishes. Lord, I also want to consume who You are. Lord, I want the very essence of Your power in my life. I want it to go beyond a shallow experience of what can I get for myself. Lord, I want to follow You. Lord, here I stake my claim that I believe. Lord, I'm convinced of the report that You've given. There are many who say they love Him, reject His commandments and His teachings, His precepts, Lord, help me not to be found in that number.
Amen.
The Pharisees, as they came seeking a sign of him, another instance of that given the 12th chapter of Matthew, 38th verse, said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. They were asking of a sign, not that they might believe. The signs had already been given. But they were asking of a sign and saying, Lord, prove it. They were tempting him, were challenging him and questioning his authority. Their desire, I believe, in doing that was if they could find a way in their minds to diminish his authority, then that would diminish the need to follow him, the need to feel the conviction that they felt at his teachings. Again, I see that happening today. People questioning. And I want us to understand that just as there perhaps was nothing wrong with their desire, if it were motivated of the right motive of the heart, Lord, I truly want to believe. I truly want to understand. Lord, explain what you just did. Explain the parable that you just said. Lord, I feel something prick my heart. I want to know more about it. But for me to say, Lord, prove it to me. Lord, I'm not convinced by what you've already given or what you've already shown. And they came tempting him. Folks will come trying to diminish the authority of Scripture and of the truth, fault finding and trying to find any place where they can diminish. And if I can find fault with this one area, then it diminishes in my mind the authority of the entire thing. The authority of everything that's been given and everything that you hold. If I can diminish and question the authority of it, and so the Lord didn't give them a sign. Did not give them what they were looking for. The Lord wants us to desire this thing with all our heart. To come before Him and walk in fear and trembling with a desire to understand of His Word.
Amen.
I'd like to look at Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew 12, and pick up in the 40th verse, 39th is what we just read. 40 says, For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. I know we're familiar with the story of Jonah. The commission that the Lord gave him. The Lord looked down and he saw the wickedness of Nineveh. Out of his love and his mercy, he sent Jonah to preach unto them. To give them the warning. And you know, I can really kind of understand Jonah's feeling. I can understand his apprehension to come, approach a city. You don't know if you'll be received. You don't know if you'll be killed for what you're saying. It's not a message that's popular. It's not a message that most people would want to hear, that your city will be destroyed in 40 days. Whenever Jonah finally was willing to submit to what the Lord asked of him, he went unto the city and proclaimed the simple message that God had given. You know, I see one to consider a few other instances in the Bible. Throughout them all, I see a common theme. God in His mercy, before He sends judgment, sends His Word. Before He sends judgment upon a people or a nation, He sends His Word to warn, to convict, to give the opportunity. He sends the report unto them, giving them the opportunity. If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves, shall repent and turn from their wicked ways, they had that promise. And we see that Nineveh did just that. As he went and preached unto them and told them that they had 40 days, God was displeased. It moved them. It moved them beyond just saying, I believe it. Or beyond just saying, well, that's a stirring message. But it moved them so much that they declared a fast. They declared that all should dress in sackcloth and ashes, if perchance the Lord might have mercy upon us. If perchance by my humbling myself before Him, they believed the report. The report was given, the warning went forth, and they humbled themselves. Are we as receptive to the Lord today? Are we as receptive in our lives when the Lord comes along and sends His word? Whenever the Lord points at something in my life and says, I need a change. The Lord's looking more than just saying, Lord, I believe. He's looking for more than saying, well, that was a good message. I appreciate that was stirring and I go my way and never change. But the Lord is looking for something that I say, Lord, I believe. That I humble myself and come before Him, break up the fallow ground, and seek Him until He rain righteousness upon us. Because of what Nineveh did, Jesus said that it would be a testimony against those that He was coming unto. Because He said, Jonah went unto them, and they believed. And He said, because of that, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Because a greater than Jonah is here. The very Son of God has come. Amen. Given His word and His message. The report that He's given of coming judgment. Of the Lord's displeasure with the sins of this world. Who hath believed the report? Do you know the men of Nineveh, just as in the day of Jesus, will rise up in judgment against us as well if we don't believe the report? If we hear the word and it's just unto us as a lovely song, it's just unto us where I enjoy the good message, I enjoy the good meeting and I leave from the meeting never really changed. Maybe I saw something about myself. Maybe I purpose that I'm going to make a change. I purpose that and realized I have a need. But if I come back next year and I haven't changed, what benefit is it unto me? Requires more than a head knowledge. And James, it says, you believe, the devils also believe, and they tremble. Yes. It requires more than just a belief. He went on after that and said that faith without works is dead. We're talking here about a faith. Faith that's more than just a level of the highest level of Christianity that I can reach where I aspire unto faith. Where I aspire that I trust the Lord with my body, and yes, that's part of it. But the faith that it says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Yeah. Because he that cometh to Him must believe that He is. Yeah. Must believe the report of who He is and of what He said. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The queen of Sheba had heard the reputation of Solomon. And she said, putting it in my words, that she had to come see for herself. She had heard of it. She had heard the reports, but she had to come and behold it herself. You know what her response was? She didn't leave a skeptic. She didn't leave with disbelief, but it said that her response was, the half has not been told. The half of everything that I've heard hasn't been told. I would today that we would seek out the riches and the fullness of what Christ has for us. That if I've had an experience in my salvation that's been short of victorious, been short of what I hear and know that it should be, that I not be discouraged and leave a skeptic. That I not turn around and say it didn't work and it won't work. But that I would say, Lord, help me to believe. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Help me not to lower the standard because I don't feel like I can reach it. Jesus said also, the queen of Sheba, queen of the south, would rise in judgment. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10 and the 14th verse. Jesus here was giving the commission unto the 12, and sending them out into the world to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick and so forth. He was counseling them and preparing them for what they would face. It says here, when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. This was much more than if you feel slighted, or if men despise you or rile you and they hurt you, this is a way to spite them. It went much further than that. Jesus told them in another place that let them know and made it clear unto them, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting the ones that have sent you. You know, the message can go forth in the Word. You can look out and you can see resistance. And you can feel resistance.
That's right.
You can feel the opposition of the enemy against it. The enemy does not like to be exposed. You can see those that you know aren't receiving it. It's much more than just the minister. It's more than just who it is, but it's the word that's given. If it's under the unction of the Holy Ghost, if it is the true, unadulterated word of God, those are the words that we'll be judged by. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Thought about the story and the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, a wicked city. Wickedness that is hard to even fathom and comprehend. Perhaps, I thought it I read in Genesis, the 19th chapter, the 14th verse, I'd like to consider the message that was sent forth unto some souls in that city. Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. The angels had come and searched out the city to see if it was as wicked as it had ascended up before God. They found the report to be true. And he told Lot, go and retrieve those of your family that are still in the city. Go and tell them of the judgment. Again, the mercy of the Lord being extended unto them. And so Lot went unto the house of his sons-in-laws and his daughters. And this was the account. This was how it was received. It said, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. That word means, in other words, he seemed to be speaking absurdly. It was something that wasn't received at all. It, as they say, went in one ear and out the other. It seemed as foolishness. You know, the report of the gospel seems as foolishness. The report of the message that God sent, you know, it's still just as true as it ever was. Judgment is coming. They had never seen anything like that, nor have we. Never seen fire rain down upon a city, but yet the report was given unto them. Here's your chance. Here's your moment. Oh, I'm thankful that we're still in that moment. We're still in the day of grace. Where the report's been given, go and flee the city. Go and flee this old world. There's still opportunity. There's still chance, but judgment is coming. And it will be given upon the earth. They mocked it. They made light of it and didn't accept it. I don't know how instantly the destruction occurred, but I know they were believers at that point. Believers, but yet it was too late. Too late to do anything about it. Perhaps if they had time, as the fire and brimstone was raining down, remembered the absurd one. Remembered the one that they had mocked and ridiculed. Realized, oh, if only. Those are words, folks, I do not want to utter on the judgment day. If only. If only I had listened to the message that went forth. If only I had believed the report. It having been mixed with faith to realize that God is true. Let God be right and every man a liar. When God says that there will be judgment, It's in His mercy that we would believe Him. We live in a sensational age. We live in an age that it's hard to really affect people. What they see on television and on the shows and in the movies, it's a documented fact, I suppose could be documented, I believe it to be true, that the violence, the luridness, if we could say it that way, has to be increased more and more. We live in an age where people are becoming so desensitized. And if you've ever been through a place and seen on the screen the preview of a movie and all you see is action and violence and destruction and all those things, it has to be so that they might be able to hold their attention. And then the simple message of the gospel goes out. The message that the same as it's always been. The message that hasn't changed, it's foolishness. It seems absurd. And a story, I remember when we lived in one place in northern Oklahoma. There were some neighbor children that ran around all through the streets of the neighborhood. And we tried to open our home to them and spend some time with them. We tried once to tell them some Bible stories. When I was young, I was intrigued by the story of Jonah, by the story of Noah and all those things, and David and Goliath, and Jesus walking on the water. It intrigued me. We began telling some of these stories unto the children, and they were bored. It didn't affect them. It didn't touch them like I was. And the only, as they began giving feedback and talking about it, they said, "Well, we think we've heard of Jesus. Isn't He the one that's in such and such movie?" And that was the only way that they were able to relate. You know, really, this message pales in comparison to excitement of what you see. And the enemy orchestrates it that way. So fills minds and hearts that they're so calloused, so hardened against the gospel message, that it, when it goes forth, it doesn't have the same penetrating effect that it one time had. Before my day, reports that I would hear of altars being filled and lined, I know we still see that, some, but I believe that in the day and age that we're living in, it's harder for the Lord to be able to penetrate, to be able to affect. We live in a sensational age. Requires something very sensational to get people's attention. Sectism sees that as well. And so to compensate for it, we see the gospel message spiced up, if we can put it that way. We see it adapted. We see different techniques of trying to capture people's imagination, trying to hold their attention and give it to them. But folks, I want to tell you, it's still the simple, pure, unadulterated gospel that brings salvation. And no other, no adaptation that we can make will affect. And I know the Lord desires for us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves in the way that we approach souls. But for me to take and adapt and change the gospel message, for me to take and try to sensationalize it, try to sugarcoat it, try to take the very depth out of it so that people can receive it, for me to do that is a mistake. It's going to require something more than the passion of the Christ. That can have an effect upon people. Seeing the image, seeing it there before you and the vividness of it, but folks, it's still going to require us believing the report. The simple report, if the gospel going forth cannot touch me, then whatever I might see that might affect my emotions will be short-lived. I've heard Brother Marty say before, if you can scare them into it, they'll be scared out of it. If you can scare people into this salvation, something will come along that'll scare them out. It's got to be a deep-seated core belief that I hold. That I come to the place as Saul did. That I see the light and I say, "Who is it? Lord, who art Thou?" He says, "It is me that Thou persecutest." That I come face to face with who He is. That I see and I have the revelation to my heart. And that's something that cannot be taken away from me. But until I come to that place and I say, "Lord, I yield. Lord, I give up. I believe the report," it will be short-lived. Hebrews The 11th chapter, we won't return to it for the sake of time, but it says, by faith Noah, being warned of the things not yet seen, was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness, which is by faith. It was by faith, the faith that we're talking about, that I believe the report. It said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I have to believe during the time that he was building the ark, he explained. He gave the message that the Lord had given unto him, because I believe God is a merciful God. And I believe the thing that was standing between other souls being included on that ark was disbelief, unbelief in the report that was told, this man speaks absurdly. Didn't believe it, didn't receive it, mixed with their rebellion against God. But you know, I don't believe there was a single unbeliever when the rain began to fall. Whenever the fountains of the deep and the geysers of water from deep within the earth began to spew up, I can assure you there was not a single unbeliever that saw that, beheld it. But yet the time was too late. Scripture says every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. There will be a time that that will happen. No matter what my resistance is, no matter how I might push it off, no matter my profession or maybe even a proclamation of atheism, there will be no atheist on that day. There will be none that can say, I don't believe. Because then the Lord will be revealed and every eye shall see. Those that would call upon the rocks and the mountains to hide them will not suffice. The Lord would have us to believe and to receive it. Thought about a parable that Jesus spoke. Found in Luke, the 20th chapter. He gave the illustration of the keeper of a vineyard. And he said that he sent forth servants unto those that kept the vineyard, hoping that they would receive them. And it said they stoned them. And they sent them back. And so after several attempts of that, said that, he said, perhaps if I send my son, my beloved son, let's turn and look at that so I don't do injustice to the scripture. Luke 20. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant. They beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. Scripture says, we know it very well. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah. Thinking if they didn't receive the prophets, if they didn't receive those that I've sent before, the reports that I've given, perhaps they'll receive my only begotten son. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Takes my mind to the instance of Jesus looking over Jerusalem. Said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets. How often would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth her chicks? The very desire from Father's heart. Said he came unto his own. And his own received him not. He came unto his own and brought the report of salvation, redemption. But yet they didn't believe the report that was given unto them. Oh, how oft would I have gathered thee, as a hen doth her chicks, and drawn them close in protection and love. Embrace them. He went on to say that you will not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Whenever the time comes that you recognize, whenever the scales of your eyes fall off and you have to acknowledge He is the Son of God, whenever it's too late, Oh, how often would he have gathered and desires to do that with us yet today. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We'll close shortly. Hebrews 10 and 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes. Oh, may the fear of God rest upon us. Just as it did when the message went forth unto Nineveh. The message went forth in times past, and they were moved with fear by it. Whenever the Lord finds me lacking, whenever he finds some unbelief that's hindering me from allowing his salvation to work in its fullness, may I, in fear and trembling, seek and appreciate and esteem his sacrifice that he made. Scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Yes. This great salvation that he came, has done everything that he can do. He's given himself, given his life blood, shown his love unto me in more ways than I can express. What more could he really ever do? Song says, O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly? The offering of thy soul. Amen. Jesus' heart's desire was that as the people beheld the miracles, they would be moved. And they would believe upon him. And there were those that did. The Lord's desire is today that as we hear his word, we would be moved. That as he comes and sends the message my way and it cuts across me, that I wouldn't reject it, but that I would accept it, receive it, that I would say, Lord, I believe the report. Been asking the Lord in prayer and wondering, Lord, what will it take? What will it take to awaken souls? You see them going so carelessly, and it seems oblivious to the times that we're living in. Blinded, going about madly rushing on to judgment. And I say, Lord, what will it take? The Lord said of Jerusalem that would see him whenever they acknowledged and had to acknowledge. Lord, must it be then? Must it wait till the judgment for our family, our loved ones, and those that we see rejecting you? Lord, how low must they go? How far must they venture out into sin before they realize, Lord, the report's true. Lord, the report of what you've given is true. Lord, I accept what you came to give. Lord, how far must they go? Must they lose their life? Must they lose the things most precious to them? Must they lose their family and their children? Lord, what's the cost that's too much? At what point will they say, I yield? At what point will they say, I can go no further? I've seen the miracles. It's witnessed unto my heart. And yet they're recklessly going about their way. Lord, help us that we would be moved. I think about the rich man. Whenever he was found in hell and lifted up his eyes, and he asked a favor. He asked that something be done of Father Abraham. He said, send him back that he may talk to my brothers. I have brothers that are yet back in my father's house. Send them that they might not come and experience the torture that I'm experiencing. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the very same chance that you had. The same opportunity that you had. He said, but if one come and is raised from the dead, they'll believe him. He said, if they've not believed the prophets, if they've not believed the word that's gone forth, they won't believe him that was raised from the dead. Many people today are not even believing the one who was raised from the dead. What else could be done? Who else could be sent? We think, Lord, I remember as a child I would hear of atheists standing up and boldly defying God and proclaiming, if there be a God, let him strike me with lightning and things to that effect. And I thought, Lord, it doesn't make any sense to me. Why don't you just go ahead and strike him down with lightning? And then those that look on will behold him. Well, in my mind now, that falls under the category of the Pharisees that were saying, Lord, prove it. Lord, prove yourself unto us in skepticism. Unless we desire to receive it. Unless we have a hungering and thirsting for the truth. And say, Lord, I want to believe. Lord, I realize that there's something here. Unless I come to the point, the Lord will allow me to be deceived. The Lord will allow me to go on my way, blinded. Never believing, never receiving. Going to my grave, always having thought that that man that we crucified was just another man. He was just someone else that came along, another prophet that caused trouble. But that I would see and believe of all those people that followed after him, how many were standing with him at the judgment. I believe if the Lord were to pull back the corner of the veil a little bit, I believe if the Lord were to allow us a little glimpse into eternity, you know, I don't think there would be a single person standing. I don't believe there would be a single person resisting. If I could just catch a glimpse of what it'll be like to miss it. If I could just see those that have gone before and didn't believe the report. If I could just hear the pleas and cries of the rich man saying, oh, listen to the prophets, I didn't. Listen unto the Son, I didn't hear him. Spare yourself the torture. Spare yourself what I'm going through. If I could just get a glimpse. But oh, how sly the enemy is to blind our minds and our eyes, to get us to the point that I don't see that. Perhaps I close it off. Perhaps I just dismiss the thought from my mind. Try not to dwell upon it because it hurts. But whatever the reason, I'm not believing. Whatever the reason, I'm not allowing the belief to work in me. Folks, just as sure as I prophesied unto Sodom and Gomorrah, just as sure as Noah was prophesying in his day, judgment will come. The day will come when the Lord's mercy will be over. It's a horrid thought. It's a thought that I shudder to even think of. Remember a dream the Lord gave me once when I was praying, Lord, give me a greater burden for souls. And in the dream, I was standing before the judgment seat. And I remember I was towards the back in a line as I saw it in this dream. And I heard the decree being given to each one as he came before the great judge. Enter thou into the blessed. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But what stuck out the most to me was the feeling of utter hopelessness that I felt. I felt the feeling of those who were being rejected. Those who were being turned away who remembered the opportunities they had. Remembered the message that had gone forth. But yet there was no hope. Yet it didn't matter how they pled. It didn't matter what they said or what they did. The day of grace was past. Folks, that's never left me. That feeling that the Lord allowed me to feel just a little bit of has never left me. I never want to feel it again. I never want to face that day where I feel and realize the day of His grace is past. I've referred to the times that I feel we're living in before. It seems like as a river. I look out across the river and I see those who are drifting without a rudder. Drifting without an anchor down the course of the river. Wherever the current takes them, wherever the world goes. Whatever the trends, whatever the fashions are, I'm just going with the tide. Just flowing along and in my mind's eye I've seen that river. As it progresses and as I'm watching and I see faces in those in the river of my loved ones, see faces of those that I know aren't ready. And I try and wish there was something I can do because I'm looking out and I can see where the end of that river is. In my mind, it's a waterfall. You ever seen a waterfall and as you get closer to the waterfall, the speed of the river increases? The closer you get, the faster and faster and faster it's swept off until it plunges over the edge. I feel like souls are there. I feel like the time that we're living in today, the wickedness that we see about us is increasing and increasing and snowballing at a rate that perhaps we've never seen. The rate of wickedness and turning from the Lord, I believe it's prophesied. I believe it's spoken that it will be that way. I would this evening that we would believe the report. Before it's too late. If there is a place the Lord has put His finger on my life. You know, I think also of the saint. Wherefore, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It should affect a change within us as well. Whenever the Lord points to something in His life that He says I'm not pleased with, it should cause a fear and a trembling to come upon me. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe the report that You've given. I don't want to wake up too late. Realize that the current of the river is carrying me so fast and so far, farther than I ever thought I would be, and all I see before me is the plunging of the waterfall. Folks, the day of grace is here. Opportunity has been given for us to believe the report. May we each in faith receive it, believe it. Say, Lord, I give up. Lord, it's more than a head knowledge. It's more than me saying I believe. It's more than me saying I'm all right. Lord, I believe. Lord, with full conviction, with a belief and a conviction that is such that it brings a change in my life. Thought about the song, Wisdom Crieth in the Streets. It says, Lo, wisdom crieth in the streets in solemn tones of warning. Amid the concourse loud repeats, the end of time is coming. The voice of wisdom cries to all, the end of time is coming soon. The voice of wisdom cries to all, escape the sinners, awful doom. Even in the day and age in which we live in today, the gospel message is still going forth. Think about whenever Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and 3,000, I believe, souls were saved. That's the message that went forth that they believed. There were those that said, Lord, I believe and I accept it. And yet I see Peter in another place being said that they beheld him that he was ignorant and unlearned. It was something more than an intellectual appeal unto them. It was more than an emotional appeal. It was more than something that would stir my emotions. I've seen the way some other services are conducted. Towards the end of the service, the lights begin to dim. The music begins playing softly in the background. You can hear the tone of the speaker begin to change. They're skilled. They're talented at being able to affect people. Being able to give a tear-jerking performance. But folks, it's got to be something far greater than that. If the simple, unadulterated Word of God will not move me, then nothing will move me to the point that it brings that lasting, abiding salvation that I need. That's the work that the Lord wants to do in us. May we believe His report.